Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Dave Schilling. We have been trying to get this off the ground here. I feel like we've been trying to podcast for almost as long as we've known each other.
Listen, I've been trying to podcast for years, and I'm not very good at it. So, you know, we're all trying something, right?
Well, I'll say this. We've done a couple episodes back in the very first iterations of Locked On Lakers and whatever it was before Locked On Lakers. And I've always enjoyed talking to Dave. He's a Laker fan going through much of the same thing that I've been going through with this season. And over the last, I would say, day or so, I've been trying to figure out, like, has this actually been fun? And I can't say that it has been. Dave, you kind of feel the same way, though.
Yeah. I mean, my relationship to the NBA in general is kind of weird right now. You know, I was at Bleacher Report for 2 years, and now I'm not doing that anymore. And so I spent, you know, 4 or 5 years in sports writing and around sports and the NBA, it's not fun to watch basketball. Because it was my job, but it's especially not fun to watch this Laker team because they're so aggressively mediocre. And I think we've been living through terrible Laker teams, and now we had these expectations that, oh, this is it. This is the year. LeBron is here. We're going to make a big move. We're going to get somebody to pair with him. And that just isn't going to happen. And they're just kind of plodding along, and the games themselves are not thrilling. The team is not particularly likable in any way. And I found that from covering them is I wouldn't say I enjoyed talking to Kyle Kuzma. I wouldn't say Brandon Ingram is a charismatic fellow. I wouldn't say Lonzo Ball is somebody I'd like to have a beer with. This is just kind of like a boring team of
mediocre
projects and mediocre basketball players, or basketball players who have not developed their skills yet, and LeBron James, who takes up all the oxygen. It's just not, it's not compelling. I'd rather be a Brooklyn Nets fan. At this point, I'd rather be a Utah Jazz fan. At least those cities have embraced those teams and enjoy watching these guys, and they seem to be having fun on the court. Nobody seems to be having any fun on the court.
That's kind of where I'm at, too. Like, Kyle Kuzma said that if the Lakers really want to turn things around, that they have to start having fun. And I get it. Like, it's work. And just the way that you just said that, you know, it's not particularly fun because watching basketball over the last X years has been your and my job. So, like, I get it to a certain extent that sometimes it can become tedious. But they are paid really, really well to just play a game. And it's crazy to me that, like, Kuzma's not even alone in saying that they need to get back to having fun. Like, that, it's like it became a theme there right before the All-Star break. And I'm just sitting there like, man, is LeBron that lame to be around? Like, is it that tough to be around somebody like that? And Kyrie Irving would probably say, yeah, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, he's notorious for being someone that you don't want to hang out with. And that's a function of his greatness, a function of his personality, and a function of the atmosphere that comes with the most famous athlete in the country playing on your team. It's not something everyone can get used to. It's something that Kyrie Irving did not enjoy doing, so much that he left. He abandoned him to go to Boston. A lot of players seem like they are hesitant to come to Los Angeles because of that. I mean, you can point to the Paul George situation and say, well, God, he wanted to come here, and then they got LeBron, and he's like, nah, you know what? I'm going to stay in Oklahoma City. I'm good. What does that say about LeBron James? Not great things, but at the same time, he has been to what was it, 9 finals in total, 7 in a row.
He won
three of them. Arguably one of the 5 best players of all time. I don't know. These guys have a responsibility to come to work and try to find some joy in it because they're getting paid so much, like you said. But honestly, this season reminds me more and more of Kobe's last year.
Mm-hmm.
That it's the LeBron James show and everybody else is there to just carry water for him. And that, again, is not fun. These Lakers have not been fun. They should be fun. But they're bad. And the badness is hard to overcome. And it's especially hard to overcome if you're living under this cloud of trade suspicion. And if, you know, you have one teammate who is way more famous than everybody else. It's just a recipe for disaster. But the thing is, LeBron couldn't go anywhere and not have that problem.
There's another factor here that for me has been especially tough to kind of deal with. I'm going to have to take a quick second here to pay some bills, but then we'll come back. And I want to talk about one aspect of this, one person I was really pulling for to not live up to my expectations, and he kind of sort of did, and it's really thrown a wrench in everything. So we'll come back and we'll talk about that. So I feel like this season and the disappointment with the Lakers would be a lot easier to, I guess, swallow if it wasn't Magic Johnson and at the center of it, right? He's an icon. He's like a legitimate hero to millions of people out there. And you know, I had a feeling when he took over that I was concerned about the process that led up to his hiring, and I was a little nervous about, you know, his how much time he's actually going to have to actually function as team president. I was nervous about the hiring of Rob Pelinka and the process that went into that, and that stuff. Like, it was, I was really hoping I was going to be wrong about all those things, just from a standpoint of like, hey, if I'm wrong, then Magic did figure these things out, and the Lakers are going to be an okay place. But it winds up being a lose-lose because I wasn't thrilled about, you know, those instincts on my part. And then on top of that, now that's the way that it seems to be turning out, it's just an extra little bad sauce on top of an already cold meal. Does that play a function, or does that play a part in this at all for you?
In the front office? Yeah, I think so. The Pelinka hiring was perplexing to me as well. It was obviously done as an overture to Kobe Bryant. But it's also, you know, they hired an agent to be the general manager. And those are different skills.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for people outside of the basketball industrial complex to realize the differences between the two. But there's a drastic difference between someone whose job is to build a team, to figure out how personnel fits together, and someone whose job it is to get the most money possible for their client when negotiating for them. And so you've got this guy, Rob Pelinka, who obviously very bright man.
Great analogy.
He's got great analogy. Someone who carries himself with supreme confidence and believes in his heart he knows what he's doing, clearly, but has never done this job before. And then you have Magic Johnson, who, you know, we all love Magic Johnson. He's a national treasure, and he's probably the most beloved human being in Los Angeles, yeah, period. But if you watched him on ESPN NBA Countdown, you'd say, well, does this guy really know how the NBA works now?
Yeah.
And then you see what they put together. And we all tried to convince ourselves that this was okay, that it's fine to have LeBron James around a bunch of dudes who can't shoot, that it's not a big deal, that this is going to be a tough, gritty team with experience and veteran leadership. When in reality, it was exactly what we thought it was going to be. It's a train wreck. they can't shoot. They can't shoot free throws. they've been incredibly injury prone, and they have no depth. And so now they're in the situation where they have to plod through the next 41 basketball games with no guarantee that they'll even sniff the playoffs.
Do you think they make it?
No, absolutely not.
I'm nervous.
I do not. I don't want them to at this point. What's the point? They make the playoffs, great. Then they get swept in the first round by Golden State or by Denver.
I'm not going to go so far as to say I'm rooting for them not to make it. But the one, I guess, quote unquote, positive of them missing out would be that, you know, you got to have some pretty gaping holes organizationally if you can't get LeBron to the playoffs. Right. And like LeBron isn't blameless here either. You know, the 18 games that he missed were obviously just brutal and completely had the rails of the season came off the rails once that happened. But you know, putting a team around LeBron when you had $31 million in cap space to be able to put that together. And had a couple of the pieces that seemed to make a lot of sense with him before he even arrived that you just let walk away for nothing. Like I would hope, and I don't know, maybe the Lakers aren't capable of this, but I would hope that if they fail to make the playoffs, they'd have a come to Jesus moment, right? You'd have to look in the mirror and say, okay, some of these things that we're doing here are hugely backwards and hugely antiquated, and it's time to join the NBA in 2019 and 2020. Maybe
you give them too much credit. I'm not here to totally bury the Lakers franchise, but we all thought if they just get rid of Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak, everything will be fine, because Jeannie Buss is a modern thinker, and she knows she doesn't need to be fiddling, and she's going to bring in the brightest of the brightest. And at the end of the day, that is not what happened. Mm-hmm. That is not at all what happened. She brought in two guys who are smart but aren't necessarily cut out for this job. They still don't have the training infrastructure or the player development infrastructure that other teams do. They're miles and miles and miles behind the Warriors, the Rockets, the Spurs in terms of organizational structure and how to build a basketball team. They don't have those people. They don't have that support staff. Utah has better training and player development infrastructure than the Lakers do, which is crazy because the Lakers are one of the most valuable sports franchises in the world, the second most valuable NBA team besides the Knicks. An incredibly lucrative franchise, but they can't seem to figure out how to compete on an intellectual level with everybody else, because there is, this is my opinion, I could be wrong, there is a strain of arrogance inside Laker world,
yeah,
that simply needs to go. The DNA of the franchise is poisoned with narcissism and arrogance and a belief that they are better.
It's you know, we always hear about Lakers exceptionalism and as that pertains to like guys that the Lakers think they might be able to get, but actually the most damning or the most harmful form of Lakers exceptionalism is this idea that they don't have to follow the rules, that the rules don't apply to them, and therefore they don't have to equip themselves with the best training staff, the best analytics department, the best scouting department. They feel like those things are just going to take care of themselves because they're the Lakers, and that's just the way things are going to go. We need to take another quick second here. When we come back, I want to talk about whether or not, I mean, we've already kind of started heading down this path, but I want to know whether we think these things can actually be fixed, or if it's going to require some real awkward questions about, you know, the entire organization. So we'll come back and we'll get to that. So do you think these things can be can be addressed with the organization as it currently stands? Or do we think that maybe a sale might be necessary or some type of much bigger adjustment or would be necessary to actually get to the bottom of some of these issues?
They have to sell the team. The bus family has to sell the team. Mm. See, it's the only answer. It says the only answer for the Knicks problem. James Dolan needs to sell the team.
Yeah.
It is a fundamental organizational problem. The Golden State Warriors were the laughing stock of the NBA until they were sold.
Mm-hmm.
And the Clippers. the Clippers are doing much better than they have any right to do, even though they're probably also going to miss the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Still, they are miles ahead of where they should be in this rebuild, just because they have an owner who is financially solvent, number one. Not that Jeannie Buss isn't, but you know, Steve Ballmer has very wide pockets. But he also has something to prove.
Mm-hmm.
Jeannie Buss acts like she has nothing to prove. She walks around Staples Center and glad-handing people and doing the whole I'm the Lakers mascot sort of shtick. But she doesn't have that fire to win that Steve Ballmer has. Steve Ballmer is right there behind the basket every home game, screaming and yelling, and he's very intimately involved in the day-to-day operations of this team, of that team. It's a big deal for him. It really matters. Jeannie Buss acts like it doesn't matter. She might have learned that from her dad, who sat up in the rafters and didn't really interact in that way. He trusted Jerry West or Mitch or whoever it was that was running the team. But right now, you can't just throw your hands up and say, well, this is the Lakers. It'll figure itself out. I'll just need to hire the right person. It's going to be fine. You can't do that. The owners that are successful now are owners that are eager to keep up with whatever is going on in the league. And I don't think Jeannie Buss has that. She loves the Lakers. It's her family's legacy. But I just don't see her caring about winning and losing as much as she should. It seemed like, oh, we got LeBron, we're good. We got LeBron.
It feels like it's quick fix after quick fix after quick fix without ever actually addressing some of the actual problems, right?
Like, yeah. Well, we hired Luke Walton. We got it. He's a genius. We got LeBron James. We figured it out. We're going to get Anthony Davis. It's going to be fine. None of those things have been the answer. None of them.
Well, the Anthony Davis thing in particular, being so desperate in the way that they, like, did you ever think in you know, and I guess it's tough given where we both are at this point, but like if you were to think back to when you were a kid, that the Lakers would be so desperate to negotiate against themselves with a team that it was very obviously not interested in negotiating at all. Like the way that that played out over the trade deadline, I sat there and I was like, man, like full-on, full-blown fan Anthony Irwin would be. This is why fandom ends. Like when you screw up that fervently and that thoroughly, that's how you turn people off.
They embarrass themselves and they embarrass the franchise. They offered all these players, knowing full well, or maybe they didn't know. Maybe they had no idea that New Orleans is going to behave like this, knowing that they're going to be obstinate and they're going to leak this information. I find all of these leaks and these things to be much worse than tampering. Whatever, however you define tampering, is not really that big of a deal, right? If someone says, I think this is a really great player on television, is that really tampering?
No, not really.
It's a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
Or Magic saying what he said about Paul George on Jimmy Kimmel. Is that tampering? Is he fiddling with anything? I mean, this is a grown man we're talking about in Paul George who can make his own decisions. He can be flattered on a late night talk show, but does that mean he's going to make a decision based on that? Clearly not, because he didn't come. So they're fining Magic Johnson for something that ended up being a failure. And then you've got this situation with Anthony Davis, where the team that has the player responds to whatever the scheme was from Rich Paul to force a trade by then leaking all of these ridiculous trade offers, knowing they were going to turn them down because they wanted to humiliate the Lakers. There's a situation in the NBA now where the Lakers are hated by all 29 other basketball teams. They hate them.
Yeah.
Whose fault is that? It's Jeannie Buss's fault. Jeannie Buss represents the Lakers at all league meetings. She's the owner. She's the representative of this franchise to the NBA. We've always been told, though, they love Jeannie Buss. She's beloved within ownership circles. Well, then why is everybody flinging poo at the Lakers? Every chance they get, doesn't matter who it is. The Spurs hate the Lakers. The Pelicans hate the Lakers. The Clippers cover up the Lakers' championship banners when they have home games. The Celtics are actively trying to ruin the Lakers. It makes no sense.
Even the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah.
Randomly just started to, like, we would not deal with the Lakers. I think that's, you mentioned Jeannie Buss in that regard, and I've never thought of it from that perspective. But the Magic hiring and after Magic was hired, the very open and brazen attempts at you know, going behind everybody's backs or scheming underhandedly to be able to acquire other team superstars. Like, of course that's going to rub people the wrong way. What'd they think was going to happen?
Well, it probably worked in the 80s. And he's like, well, it's worked in the 80s.
Yeah.
Let's keep doing it. But that's what happens when you hire somebody who has a 20th century mentality about how this stuff works. If he had thought about it, he would have thought they're going to leak this to Shams, or they're going to leak this to Woj, and I'm going to look like a doofus. Because that's what happens when all these things go down. They get leaked. They get leaked, and they use information as a weapon. And so far, Magic Johnson thinks he can smile through every situation, and it'll be fine. And that's simply not how it works. Not anymore. You look at all the GMs in the NBA that are successful. You wouldn't go out calling them charismatic, charming, socially comfortable. You know, arguably the best pure general manager in the NBA is Daryl Morey.
Well, there, yeah, his ping pong parties are incredible.
Yeah. Cool. I can't think of anybody who has less in common with Magic Johnson in the world. Maybe Donald Trump. It's Daryl Morey and Magic Johnson are nothing alike, but Daryl Morey was able to build a team around James Harden that has a halfway decent chance of taking the Warriors in seven games. You know, they almost did last year. Nobody else has gotten that close besides LeBron James to beating this team. I guess Oklahoma City a couple mm-hmm. years ago, too. But it's by and large impossible to do that. But Magic Johnson thinks that he can just be charming and people will love him because that's always worked for him. Doesn't work anymore. He can't just be charming. Yeah. There's a limit to that. And the minute that Jeannie Buss figures that out and hires somebody who can do the job is the minute that they will turn it around.
I sure hope so.
It's not going to happen. She'll never fire him.
Yeah.
He will get another job or he'll quit and go back to ESPN. But he's never getting fired. I don't think Pelinka's getting fired because they don't want to piss off Kobe.
It's so weird.
It's only weird if you think that they don't care about all of these legends, or that they don't see the value in using them for marketing purposes. Really, that's what it comes down to, is Kobe Bryant is a valuable marketing tool for the Lakers. Magic Johnson is a valuable marketing tool for the Lakers. As long as that continues to be the case, they will continue to bend over backwards for both of them. Because the Lakers are not a basketball team now. They are a legacy. They're a memory of a basketball team. That's all it is. And now LeBron James is the next marketing tool for the Lakers instead of being good. And that's too bad.
Yeah.
But it's the same problem the Knicks have. The Knicks and the Lakers are both in the same boat right now, and that boat is sinking.
Well, I guess we got to find out which owner jumped ship first. And I think...
Jeannie Buss will not sell the team. No way.
Yeah, she's...
She stabbed her brother in the back to keep that team. She'll never sell.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, Jim handed her the knife like a couple times over.
Sure. And it was also written into the will.
Mm-hmm.
So she always had the power to do it when she wanted to. But I don't think she's going to give up her birthright for anything.
No.
I think James Dolan might get sick of being hated by the entire city of New York, but people still love Jeannie Buss. I'm saying these things knowing full well that most Laker fans think that she walks on water.
Yeah.
So she's not going to be forced out. They're going to blame everybody else. They're going to blame Luke Walton. They're going to blame Pelinka. They're going to blame LeBron. They're definitely going to blame LeBron
and Rich Paul. It's already happening.
The Clutch Sports mafia, so to speak. I won't call them a posse. I'm not going to make that mistake. But the Clutch Sports group is, they're hated here right now. I think it's going to get worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just make Kobe the coach.
He knew to stay away.
He did.
He knew that, you know, there's too much at risk by joining up with these guys and having that smudge his legacy. He was smart, really. I mean, it was the right move to make. It's too
Kobe's
bad.
Kobe's kept his distance.
Yeah,
Kobe has his own life, and he's not going to continue or start, that is, to associate himself with his team too much.
Yeah,
there's no reason to. He's got his five rings. He's happy.
It was painfully obvious when they first brought on this new front office that every single one, I would say, out of every five questions, two of them were about when's Kobe coming? When's Kobe coming? How's Kobe going to be involved? How's he going to do this? And it was very obvious that Kobe was not interested. And he was like I said, he was right to do it. And maybe the Lakers are better off, but they do need to. My big thing is just. Show me that you're capable of decent process, right? Show me that you're capable of, if you're going to fire Luke Walton, put out a decent coaching search. If you're gonna if Rob Pelinka is ever fired or Magic Johnson ever steps away, that they get back to, you know, this is. You would think for a multi-billion dollar industry, throwing together, you know, hopping on LinkedIn even would be a step in a direction that they would take, but they have yet to do that. So, you know, here's hoping that maybe at some point they get the paid subscription to LinkedIn and
hire. I don't think Luke Walton is the problem.
No, I don't know if he's the solution either. Is that fair?
Yeah, but that's not. I don't think you can say, well, he has to go because he's not the solution.
Yeah.
The solution has nothing to do with him. Yeah. Nothing at all. I mean, let's really talk about this. The day of the draft in 2017, the Lakers traded D'Angelo Russell and Timofey Mozgov to the Nets for Brooke Lopez and their draft rights to Kyle Kuzma. Because they had to get rid of Timofey Mozgov's contract. Because it was ridiculous. We all know it was ridiculous. That was Jim Buss deciding he really wanted Timofey Mozgov, who brought nothing to that team. And so in order to get rid of this guy, to clear that cap space, Magic and Rob Pelinka decided to trade D'Angelo Russell, who became an all-star.
Only a couple years later.
2 years later, he's an all-star. He's an elite point guard, or he's knocking on the door of being elite.
Mm-hmm.
Julius Randle, they let go. And now he's
20 and 10
every night for New Orleans. Those two guys would solve so many problems for this team. D'Angelo Russell can shoot threes. Lonzo Ball can't. Julius Randle is a big man who can shoot, who is aggressive and active. They let him go.
Yeah. Well, Magic didn't draft him, so.
Yeah, I know that. This is the insanity of it. We've spent the last 30 minutes talking about crazy people doing crazy things.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't draft this guy. He's got to go. What?
Well, I'm looking forward to Brandon Ingram All-Star one day.
Probably with another team.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Well, hey, this was
therapeutic. Depressing?
No, it was therapeutic. Yeah, it was depressing. Well, because I think, again, and those who are listening and who have complained about my complaints before, like, these things need to be pointed out. Like, if you and I don't talk about them, it's not like they just cease to exist.
Well, what would these hypothetical listeners prefer that people talk about when they talk about the Lakers? How great they are? Their rotations, like, the Lance Stevenson's handles, like what are we supposed to talk about?
He's bad. A good guitar player.
The team is bad. This is the takeaway I want everyone to consider when they're done listening to this. The positivity has gotten Lakers fans nowhere. The Pollyanna, oh, it's going to be fine attitude.
Yeah.
Is why they don't make any big moves, is why they have not had the sense of urgency that they need to have. Because Laker fans will never abandon them. They will never turn on them the way that a New York Yankees fan would turn on their team. If the Yankees baseball team made the kind of moves the Lakers have made, there'd be a riot.
Well,
it's just that Laker fans are not, they are not critical. They're not. Here's a great example. And I hate to do this, but I'm going to call somebody out by name. Bill Plaschke's column every single week whenever it's about the Lakers. It's like Lakers exceptionalism. The Lakers are great. They're going to figure it out. Look at how wonderful this team is. And, we win. That's what we do here. This is L.A. It's Hollywood, baby. And we got LeBron James and blah, 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 blah. And it makes everybody feel great. But it is not real. It's not realistic. It is puffed up nonsense to make you feel like you're part of something special. And I'm glad people enjoy it when they read it. And I'm glad it makes them feel like $1 million. But the fact is, this team will not make the playoffs, and they will not make the playoffs next year or the year after that. And LeBron James will retire, missing the playoffs 3 years in a row if this continues. That is my prediction.
I think what it comes down to is like it's my least favorite phrase on the internet, where they go, "Oh, you're not a true Laker fan. A true Laker fan wouldn't say these things about Magic and about the Lakers and about Genie." And I would say, like, no, I think it. If we're really gonna care about being quote unquote true Laker fans, what it comes down to is like demanding more of this organization that I invest time and money into. I don't think that's a terrible thing. I don't know.
A true Laker fan wants the team to win.
Yeah.
If all you care about is making grandiose statements and kissing the ring of Magic Johnson and Jeannie Buss and Kobe Bryant, then do you really like the Lakers, or you just like the idea of the Lakers? Because I want to win. I want them to win a championship. Yeah. And they're not close. They're not even close.
Yeah.
So what do I really like? Do I like the team, or do I just like the colors? Do I just like saying I'm a Laker fan? I don't know. They haven't been to the playoffs in years. 2011 was the last time they made the playoffs. 2012?
Yeah, and they were swept.
2012. They lost in 4 games. It's like, is that good enough for you? Is that okay? If that's okay with you, great. Then don't listen to me. I don't know what I'm talking about. Everything's fine. Call me in June. Let me know how things are going in June. And yeah, we'll talk.
Well, I hope I get to talk to you sometime before June. I might have
a nervous breakdown before June, honestly. I mean, I'm barely keeping it together.
Well, Hey, I'm here for you and with you, and we're
Anthony.
Hey, we're all trying to get through this together. But hey, man, I greatly appreciate you coming on. Is there anything that you want to plug before we get out of here?
Yeah, tune into the Daily Ding on the account, the Dings Podcast Network. I pop in every once in a while to talk the Knights hoops with Zach Harper and Dave Dufour and a bunch of other fun basketball writers and commentators. So check that out.
It's really good.
It's on iTunes. Yeah, it's okay. It's fine. It's better when I'm on there, but it's fine.
So is this show. Thanks very much for hopping on. I'm glad we were finally able to get this together, and let's grab a beer and actually fully hash this stuff out at some point.
Oh, absolutely. We'll figure out how this team is going to win a championship just over a beer.
Yep.
That's all it takes.
We'll fix it. We got this.
Yeah. All right, man. Talk to you soon.
Have a good one.
Bye.